Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. We've already finished up dipper number one, the American Jihad, and talking about the rise of anti-Semitism. But let's switch gears right now, because a lot of things happening in Alabama and the legislature is currently down to its, you know, last few days of the current legislative session. So that being said, what are they going to get done and what has happened most recently? And to include the gambling bill, which we understand may be going to a conference committee now, somebody who keeps her finger on the pulse of all of it pretty frequently is our friend Stephanie Smith, who's president of the Alabama Policy Institute, and she's on the line right now. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Phil. Thank you for asking.
Outstanding. I'm glad to hear it. Hey, listen, I want to ask you several questions, and then if you got other insights or things you want to talk about, just throw them in there. But two things. One is I understand that the bill that that passed most recently to codify male and female definitions is now in state law. And then we also have the gambling situation. The two disparate bills from the House and Senate both finally going to conference, I understand. And I heard some things about that this morning, but I want to get your thoughts on both.
Sure. Yeah, what we called the what is a woman bill was the first bill that you referenced. And that was one of our blueprint items and something that we've been working on. You wouldn't think that it would be that difficult to codify what a biological woman, man, woman, you know, child, girl and boy is. It was a little bit more of a fight than it should have been, obviously. But the good news is that codifying that into law, it does a lot of things, but the main thing that it does is that when there is a question, there is a ready answer.
Yeah.
And so there are lots of applications here, whether or not you're talking about the space camp situation or dormitories or, you know, just private spaces, whether or not they be male spaces, female spaces. It just designates, you know, those types of things. And so, frankly, as a mom, it was one of those things that was a no-brainer for us to support and be a part of because, you know, we know what a woman is. And so we think that Alabama law should state that.
Well, you know, it feels almost insulting. Like you said, like, why are we having to even debate this? But the fact is,
right,
we also wind up having things thrust upon us, not just from within our own state borders, but sometimes they come from outside. And now we got the ability to contest them based on state law.
That's right. And now that there are legal designations, it will clear up things before they're asked or before there's a problem,
yeah,
or it will immediately clear things up when there is a question or a problem. And so, yeah, should have been a very simple bill. and it took a couple of different iterations to get it going, but we're proud to have been a part of that for sure.
Well, and that was then, Susan DeBose's bill, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Right.
Okay.
She did a fabulous job per usual on shepherding, you know, controversial topic. You and I think it shouldn't be controversial, but, you know, it is a controversial topic, and she took some arrows, and she has such a steady hand on those social issues and does really a fabulous job. So kudos to Susan for sure.
All right. What else?
So on the gambling question,
yeah,
it has been there's a little glimmer of hope. Which, you know, I am not particularly an optimist, but there's a little glimmer of hope in that nobody is in a big hurry to pass this legislation. And, you know, the House presented this huge piece of legislation that is a, you know, 1.49% expansion of gambling in the state of Alabama, went to the Senate. The Senate basically was like, no thanks. We might be able to be okay with a pared-down type of gambling expansion. And then the House was, frankly, surprised that the Senate was not super enthusiastic about what they had sent up. And so there's a little bit of game of chicken going on. And so the House sat on it when the Senate sent the bill down there for about a week. And then they decided to not concur and send to caucus. send to conference. And then now the Senate has sat on that request for about a week. Wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit if they just didn't go to conference and just declared the thing dead. I don't think that that will happen. I do think that there'll be a conference committee. The question now is what comes out of a conference committee. As you know, API, you know, for 35 years, 35 of our 35 years has been against the expansion of gambling. So we would prefer nothing passed whatsoever. And that's what we're working towards.
I'm hearing right now that the rumor is that the pro tem of the Senate, Senator Reed, Greg Reed, is going to wind up picking Democrat Bobby Singleton, of course, Greg Allbritton, who's been the proponent for gambling, and then maybe Garland Gudger to be on the conference committee. Has that been chosen? Do we know? Or is that still just a rumor?
If it has been chosen, it is unofficially chosen. Okay. I have talked to a couple of those specific members. And then also, I think that there's an argument for putting Steve Livingston on that conference committee because, by virtue of position. And then there's an argument for putting Randy Price on that conference committee because of his position as tourism chair and you know, part of the negotiation process with the House. The rumor today is that it will be Singleton, Allbritton, and Gudger on that conference committee. And then, you know, it's Witt, Blackshear, and then Sam Jones from Mobile on the House side. Now, understand that if those are the six, then that means all six of the people on the conference committee voted yes for their respective House, for their respective bills. So there's no contrarian. There's no person that is actually against the expansion of gambling on that conference committee, which is somewhat to be expected, but also might indicate, you know, what you get out of conference. And so the folks that have voted no, or even the folks that have been on the fence, might end up with something that is very difficult to vote for out of that conference committee.
I look at the whole thing, and I've said this before, but you know, you mentioned that I even saw an article on 1819 that said that Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter, Speaker of the House, was surprised at the opposition from the Senate to the House version of the bill. And I'm thinking, did y'all even talk to each other before you came to session? I mean, this is like showing up for the wedding and realizing that the bride and the groom didn't understand the colors that were being chosen. You know, I mean, I just like, you think they would have known this kind of stuff in advance.
Yeah, I think that there was probably not a lot of talk to those no votes. There was a lot of talk and what ended up being an echo chamber of all the yes votes. But I do happen to know, you know, from talking to a lot of the no votes, which is, you know, the vote that we would appreciate just because we're anti-gambling, almost none of the no votes in the House had any indication or, you know, understanding of what the bills were going to say until they were given. And then the same thing in the Senate. You know, there were negotiations a year and a half about this, these ad hoc committees, et cetera, and there were virtually zero people against gambling on those committees. Brock Colvin comes to mind as one that was part of the House ad hoc committee that voted no. But other than that, I can't think of anyone else that was part of the process as a no or even a fence sitter.
Yeah.
So when you're only talking to people who agree with you on an issue, then it's pretty difficult to understand the other side.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. And I still think, too, that the reality is the Speaker of the House and the pro tem of the Senate probably should have gone and got coffee together before they walked in the door and started doing stuff like this, because it does not appear that the two bodies, not only were they echo chambering themselves on the yes votes, but even the leadership didn't know what they were going to do. And this is momentous. I mean, this is one of those bills where people burn political capital because they felt like their arms were being twisted in the House. I think they're going to lose some people just on that because they don't want to be put in that position twice.
Well, and I will say this, too. There are a lot of House members who voted yes for one reason or the other that then probably wish they had the ability to do something different once they saw that the Senate didn't readily agree with what the House passed. And the other thing here that's at play is the House versus the Senate, and you know this game well. But oh, yeah. You know, the idea that the House would pass something and then the Senate would just rubber stamp it would be pretty unusual, especially when you have a subject matter where the Senate, especially the old guard of the Senate, those who have been there for years and years, are entrenched on one side or the other because they've taken this vote several times. And so there's no reason to think that the guys who have historically voted no for gambling are suddenly going to change their minds when there's a huge expansion, the largest expansion that's even been considered. They're not going to change their mind, and they probably don't want to be lectured to that they don't understand the issue.
Yeah, they don't. And then next year it gets harder because we're getting closer to election season again. All right. Well, listen, my friend, with about a minute and a half here to go, you wrote a piece on sports betting, and I didn't mean to go this long before I got back to it, but I wanted to ask you about it real quick. So sports betting, people don't realize to the extent that, I mean, like the NCAA, you point out, has been requesting bans on sports betting as to athletes, and yet there are still proponents in the Alabama legislature asking for expansion of sports betting in Alabama.
Yeah, and an unlimited number of licenses, which means it would just be basically the wild, wild west of sports betting. And the NCAA president has been going around asking colleges and asking for help from states to curtail that because NCAA athletes are receiving so many threats and death threats and harassment online and in person from people who are losing money on bets they had made on a specific person.
Wow.
And so even last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, the state of Louisiana actually curtailed sports betting. And, you know, Louisiana is known to be, you know, a betting state and a gambling state. They curtailed sports betting 2 weeks ago because of that NCAA ask.
Wow.
And so there are a multitude of states that are actually pulling back on sports betting or curtailing sports betting. Meanwhile, the state of Alabama is trying to expand it to an unlimited capacity.
Boggles the mind, but I'm glad you guys are on it. We got what? 8 days left, legislative days. Is that right?
That's right.
Counting them down.
But you know, yeah, count them down. But you know me, I will not count this as dead until signee die.
No, somebody needs to. I agree. And the reality is, what we always have to worry about is what I call love breaking out. Bad things happen when love breaks out on the Senate floor. So, all right, man. I appreciate you. My friend, Stephanie Smith, president of API. If folks want to find you, where can they find you?
You can find us at alabamapolicy.org.
Thank you, my friend. You take care.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll have just a couple minutes. And then don't forget, bottom of the hour, we're going to keep this conversation going about which Alabama do you want to live in? Which one? Which Alabama do you want? We'll have our friend Lee from Huntsville calling in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.